Merry Christmas and hello again. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and the Lord has got me in a role here of doing, having some of my former tracts that I've written that He has given me to read them over the air so that people that find it hard to read or don't have the time to, that you can, while you're driving your vehicle or whatever you're doing, you can sit and enjoy listening to literature that has won so many hundreds of thousands of souls, maybe millions. Okay, this one we're starting this evening, or wherever you're at, it may be a program in the morning or afternoon, is this secret of how to defend your mind. Now, the Lord tells us to put on the mind of Christ, which is the Bible. The Bible is the mind of God, or the mind of Christ. And if we put on the mind of Christ, the temptation, the temptations of the world will not prevail over you, and you'll be able to make it into the kingdom of heaven. So you need to know the secret of how to defend your spiritual mind, your complete mind. And then we also are going to read some scriptures from the book of Revelation, and we have a couple of letters here and some news articles about the Pope. These news articles come in from Canada. Right now, let's bow our heads as we go up to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint outwardly this service. Father, pour out Your outward anointing on me, Lord, and pour out Your outward anointing on everyone to, and inwardly and outwardly, to receive what You want us to know and what You want us to learn. All of us, because all these words from You are just a marvel to us. And we know that Your word is eternal life. And Lord, we ask that it lifts the church up, puts the church on a higher spiritual level, and that souls by the millions, even billions, Lord, would be saved. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's the first letter from?
From Kaufman, Texas.
Kaufman?
Yes.
Okay.
To Tony Alamo, World Pastor. Hello, how are you doing? I hope and pray that all is well and that the Lord Jesus Christ continues to spread His mercy and blessings down upon you, your family, and our Christian family as a whole. Well, I'm writing you because I'm incarcerated at the current time. I have run across some of your newsletters, and I must say that they were truly inspiring to me. I have never read anything so life-changing like the newsletter, except for the Holy Bible itself. I can tell that the Holy Spirit is working through you, Mr. Alamo, because you back everything you say up with scriptures out of the good book. That's what was so astonishing to me. But anyways, I wanted to let you know that I really appreciate you for your work, and God will reward you greatly. Also, I wanted to request to be added to the mailing list and receive a regular subscription to the newsletters, and I also beg of you to send me any and all old newsletters all the way from the first to the current, please. I could actually live off of those newsletters, I believe. Also, I would like to get any other literature that you have and the book Messiah. I would last but not least also like to inform you that I will be attending your church and would even like to either move to that area or have you send me there immediately upon my release, because I want to serve God with all my mind, heart, body, soul, and strength, and spiritual being. I've not gone to court yet on my charges. I pray to God and would really be grateful if you and your church would pray for me that God's will be done, not mine. I pray that He, the Lord, allows me to get out so I can preach the word to everyone. I do not care about money or other material things any longer. I desire to do His will so that I may receive eternal life, even if it costs me my very life. The human body is nothing. They can destroy it, but my spirit will last forever. By the way, I'm only 21 years old, but my faith in God is growing stronger every day. I've been sharing the newsletters with other inmates also, so thank you. Well, may God continue to shed blessings down upon you and your ministries. I'll be praying for you. Keep up the good work. Sincerely, another servant of the Lord, Michael from Kaufman, Texas.
Praise the Lord. That's a real strong brother. Amen?
Amen.
And at that age, I started serving the Lord when he revealed himself unto me in a mighty way when I was at age 30. I would have been happy to have learned about him at age 21. Wasted years, amen. Okay, where's the next letter from?
From Enugu State, Nigeria, Africa.
Okay, let's hear it.
Dear Pastor Tony, I appreciate and thank you for the ministry you are doing all over the world. Your testimony has really inspired a stronger faith within me. Miracles have happened, and wonders shall never end. One evening, as I was preaching to a group of people at one end of an open field, it was a big risk indeed that evening, because all around me was charged very high with evil spirits, and many of them were under the influence of drugs and alcohol. At the end of my preaching, I started distributing the newsletters to them. 3 days after, as I was preaching somewhere near a motor park, a young man wearing dark glasses said to me, "Please, evangelist, I am here to confess about my past bad habits, my bad life. From today, there will be no more putting on dark glasses. I've given up my wicked behavior and my evil actions. I was an unmitigated drunk, but no more of that. I will..."
Well, you know, those of you people out there that wear dark glasses, young man was wrong, because there's nothing wrong with that. I myself wear dark glasses because I've got glaucoma. And that's why I don't read all these pieces of literature that I've written, and I don't read these letters. Otherwise, I'd just hog the whole show. So maybe that's why the Lord has allowed me to have this glaucoma. I had it ever since I was age 15, and that's I had it called. It was called junior glaucoma, and I'm glad that I have it, because it's been a blessing to me. There's none of the lust of the eyes that happens to me. I don't see much, which is very good. I see enough to get around. I'm not legally blind. Well, I'm legally blind, but I'm not stone blind. I can see lots of things, and I can even read on my reading machine, which amplifies the words 100, 200, 300 times. I forget exactly, but large enough so that I can read my Bible. Some people have strange ideas about if you wear glasses or dark glasses. Don't let that bother any one of you out there. Just forget what that boy said. All right, then what else?
"I will not smoke again, any type, never. In fact, after reading and meditating on the testimonies and words of transformation in the newsletters by Pastor Tony Alamo, which you distributed to us a few days ago, which have affected my life, now my life is totally changed. I have got divine peace in my spirit."
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Then what?
"I have repented, and I am now a born-again Christian. Praise the living God." He continued and asked, "Please, evangelist, have you more copies of those newsletters for my bad brothers? Pastor Tony, we are very grateful to God Almighty for you. The newsletters really made evangelizing very effective. The distribution of newsletters has been beneficial to many lost souls in this part of my state."
Right, and it makes evangelism, it simplifies it, because you can distribute them, you read them thoroughly yourself and check them out to see that they're right from the Bible, and then you hand them out to people, and then when they want to ask you questions, you've already got the answers because you looked up the scriptures, amen?
Amen.
And so that makes you an evangelist, and you will get the same reward as all of us here at the main office and church. And just everybody start distributing the literature, and if you start getting big crowds and you find a building that doesn't cost a lot or something, well, we could, maybe you can talk some of them into putting up a few dollars each, and that way we could have a church there, and we can send some of our workers down there to help you evangelize your city, your town, your state, your country, whatever. And I'm talking about worldwide. This is a world-class ministry. Okay, and then what else does he say?
"Pastor Tony, I'd be grateful if you could send many other Christian materials on a regular basis for further distribution and to enable me to widen my distribution to every part of my state.
Okay, well, make sure that every month they send them enough. And then if it isn't enough, tell them just to double the amount, triple, quadruple the amount, so that this brother here sounds like he's on fire for the Lord. What part of the, he's from Africa?
Yes.
Oh, praise the Lord. For these African brothers, there's so many of them out there, and that's one of the real good evangelical places, evangelistic places where people are really winning souls, and they're getting them into the proper doctrine. They're not part of this large movement, you know, that you see where they are so unscriptural, but they're very scriptural, and they check out my literature to make sure that everything is biblical, that it's absolutely scriptural. Okay, then what?
Please send more King James Version Bibles, Christian music, videotapes, newsletters, the Messiah, cassette tapes, messages, etc. May God continue to bless you abundantly. To God be the glory. Yours faithfully, Isaac, from Enugu State, Nigeria.
When he says the Messiah, that means the Messiah book the Lord gave me. And we have that in many languages. I think we have about, 30 languages or more? Probably that many. And we're going to get it in as many languages as we possibly can. Okay, now we have also some news articles from a... it's things that I've written in the past, but this is from another person that gets my newsletters, and they did some more research on it and found some things to add to what I've written in the past. They're from what part of Canada?
Vancouver? No, it says Yak, British Columbia.
Yak, British Columbia, okay. Let's. What was the first article about?
Rome and Islam.
Okay, this is about Rome and Islam. Now, I've told you before that Islam is another religion that a Catholic nun and another person had raised up. They were Catholics, and they raised up this Muslim religion so that it would become big and powerful, and they backed the Catholic cult, backed it so that they could use them to declare war on different countries that they want to take over, and if in that way the Vatican would not be accused of it. That's why the Vatican is using the United States Army, or Marines and Navy to force other nations into submitting themselves under Rome's power. And so that's what they did. And now Islam has become so powerful that at one time they had a hard time trying to, the Pope had a hard time trying to convince them that he was God and not them. He was telling them that he's God and that he would not let them take over the world, but he gave them the country of Turkey to take over, and that they must keep themselves under submission to him, and they're using them, and this article tells quite a bit about that. Go ahead.
Rome and Islam. Rome has a most interesting and somewhat complex strategy that she is using in her final crusade. Rome is using Islam's ecumenical religious war, which they call jihad, and the threat of Islamic terror to set up totalitarianism in America. At the same time, Rome is using American military might to crack open the Islamic world so that Rome can move into a region she has been unable to penetrate for over 1,000 years. The same conceptual roots, union of church and state, and utter submission to ecclesiastical hierarchy.
Now, they absolutely want their cult to have absolutely rule over the state or the one world government, but they don't want born again Christians to have any part of the government whatsoever. As a matter of fact, what they do is they Christianity is the greatest enemy of them, and They are the greatest enemy of Christianity. They've been killing true Christians for years. They call themselves Christians, too. What an abortion of truth. Then go ahead.
Rome and Islam share many concepts. Both hate and abhor separation of church and state. Both share...
Yeah, they like to have church and state because they say that they rule everything. But they won't allow our church to witness and testify. The government will not allow us to witness and testify on certain campuses, and because we claim that the Christians should be ruling not only the Christian realm but also the government as well, because the Jews that God called and were His own people, that religion or Judaism was not only the religious in charge of the religious world, their religious world, but also the secular. And that's the way it really should be, but it is not to be in the hands of Antichrist. And the Roman Catholic cult and Islam are the part of the body and the head of Antichrist regime. So go ahead.
Both share the same conceptual roots. Islam believes that the Quran should rule society with no separation of church and state.
Now, see, that's just Catholic doesn't mind them doing that because the Pope is the head of the Islam religion. So they don't care. They don't really care who you worship, just so you don't worship God the way He says to be worshipped. He commands us to be worshipped in the Bible. Okay, go ahead.
In the end, the Quran and its followers rule. The central concept of the religious war that they are currently waging is an attempt to cause the world to submit to the false god Allah through the Quran and obedience to the Vatican, which Mohammedism is a division of. Then that Islam, which means submission, is spread externally by force, the religious war, or jihad, or what they call holy war, to the rest of the world, ultimately under the control of the Vatican, which Islam is a division of. Roman Catholicism believes that the Pope is the vicar of Christ and that he has been given the keys to the temporal and spiritual kingdom. Therefore, he will tell you he has the authority to rule both the spiritual and temporal realms. Submission to the papacy, the encyclicals, and rulings of the papacy is in their eyes...
Papacy, that's their word to confuse you. That means just the Catholic church. The papacy is the Roman rule. Okay, and the encyclicals is just the Catholic encyclicals is their Catholic law, or called Roman canon law. Then go ahead.
Is in their eyes, quote, central, unquote. To them, there is no separation from the Catholic cult and state, from the cult rules and state.
The Catholic cult and state, in other words, the one world government and cult, church. The church or cult runs the government. That's why we see such antichrist things happening in our government, which was once our government, rather. And also you see them exalting the Pope and Catholicism on television. Even the White House is 100% Catholic. Or then what?
i.e. the entire one-world cult government and media. Through the Catholic Jesuits, Dominicans, and various orders and priesthood in the confessional, a vast system of espionage keeps the Vaticanite world in submission. Crusades are launched, holy wars, to bring alien religions and dissenters into submission or extermination.
And also Salvationists. Salvationists of the Lord... But religions are of the devil. Religion is of Satan. Salvation is of the Lord. Then what?
Islam is very much of a clone of the papacy. For Islam...
Of the Roman Catholic cult. Okay, then what?
For Islam is one of the many offsprings of the papacy. Other offsprings...
Of the Roman Catholic cult. Because the people out in Radioland don't know what the papacy is. That's why I told you to simplify it by telling them that it's the Roman Catholic cult. That's always called by them the papacy. They are Mystery Babylon the Great, the author of confusion, because Satan is the author of confusion, and he runs that cult. He runs the one world government, cult, and media. And it's so confusing. People wonder, they keep coming up with different theories on how to solve all the problems today, and the only way that the problems can be solved is to become born-again Christians so that there won't be any more war. But, of course, the Bible, God's Word, says that's not going to happen. You hear all kinds of people praying, oh, God, save this person and that person and make them... like Adolf Hitler, I'd hear people praying, oh, make him a born-again Christian, and Mussolini and Tojo and Hirohito, do it tomorrow, Lord. And this is totally unscriptural prayer. And some people, I even heard of a person in our own church having children fasting and praying for candy when all they'd have to do is put it on the list. And these are heretical prayers and they're always done by either baby Christians or people that don't know the Bible well enough to know that these type of prayers infuriate God, because God has a certain pattern of things, that the way he's going to do things, and there's no way that there are scriptural prayers and then there are unscriptural prayers. And for you to be ordering God to save people that are so demon-possessed that they're murdering hundreds of millions of people and that have committed themselves and have already blasphemed the Holy Spirit, because and there's no forgiveness of that, you're not going to say a prayer to save a person that blasphemes the Holy Spirit. They've already taken the mark of the beast in their heart. Or people that have given themselves totally over to religion and are hell-bent to destroy the Christian world. Now, this is a whole other subject which would take me an entire hour to preach on, but please keep listening to this program, and I'll be bringing messages in that regard in the future. But go ahead.
Other offsprings are Benny Hinn.
Other offsprings of the Vatican is Benny Hinn. Ask him if he's a Catholic, and he'll either lie to you or he'll tell you that he is. Okay, and then what? And the following other ones, who?
Jan and Paul Crouch.
Right.
Robert Schuller.
Yes.
Hare Krishna, and many others, including witch covens, Satan-worshipping cults, and others.
Now, if you don't believe this, all you have to do is attend one of their meetings, and you'll see witches there, Hare Krishna people, and from every kind of weirdo Satan-worshipping cult and covens. And these people are received by the Vatican into the one world, they call it church, but it's a cult, and they are actual orgies, and there's like, I've sent people in with tracts to those covens when they have their meetings. They said there's like whiskey bottles all over the place, and people are walking around in a stupor, a drunken stupor, and they have these emblems of satanic witchcraft emblems hanging off of their necks, and these weird hats with different witchcraft coven marks on them. So you know, if you don't believe what I'm saying, all you have to do is attend one of their meetings. But watch out on the floor for all the beer bottles, gin, and the whiskey bottles, because you're liable to slip and fall. All right? And watch out for the people there, because you never know what those weirdos are going to do. Okay, then what?
They are all part of the Vatican's one world, quote, church, unquote.
Yeah, cult church. All right, then there's another article here.
Yes.
Okay, that's the one about the Mr. Ratzinger.
Yes.
Okay.
The supposed United States government, which in reality is under Roman Catholic cult control, wants immunity for the current Pope Ratzinger, alias Pope Benedict. The U.S. government told a Texas court Pope Benedict should be given immunity from a lawsuit accusing him of conspiring to cover up the sexual molestation of three boys by a seminarian, documents show.
Okay, so they want the supposed to be United States government to make immunity for homosexual child molesters. Now, what paper is this in?
Protestant Mission Newsletter.
And that's from some small town in Canada, right?
Yes.
All right, then go ahead and finish it.
Assistant U.S. Attorney General...
Let's give them the address so that they can write for a copy of it.
Okay. P.O. Box 127, YAHK, that's spelled Y-A-H-K, British Columbia, Canada, V-O-B-2-P...
V as in victory?
Yes.
O as in octopus, B as in boy?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
2-P-O.
Okay. And the name of this newsletter is what?
Protestant Mission Newsletter.
Okay. Do they have a phone number?
Yes.
Okay, give them the phone number.
250-424-5287.
See, I didn't write this. You know, I'm just passing it along, which is the obvious thing. People really know that this is going on, but most people that call themselves ministers haven't got the guts to tell you. Okay, and I'm just saying this because I'm trying to win the Roman Catholic people's souls, and I've won a lot of them. People say that I've won millions of them. They no longer belong to that coven because they didn't know these things before. Okay, then go ahead and finish the article.
Assistant U.S. Attorney General Peter Keisler said in Monday's filing that as Pope Benedict enjoys immunity as the head of a state, the Vatican, he said that allowing the lawsuit to proceed would be, quote, incompatible with the United States foreign policy interests. Are they trying to say the U.S. is not interested in child molesting homosexuals that are attempting to rule our country? There was no immediate ruling from Judge Lee Rosenthal of U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Texas in Houston, who has been presiding over the case. But the Supreme Court has held U.S. courts are bound by such, quote, suggestion of immunity, unquote, motions submitted by the government, Keisler's filing says. So if you want to be a homosexual, just join the Vatican Roman Catholic cult.
Yeah, you know, you could say that to Michael Jackson. He wouldn't have had any problems at all if he would have just belonged to the cult. He belongs to another cult. What's that name of that? Jehovah's Witness, yeah. But I guess they take these priests and cardinals and popes and they hide them. And they make them immune because they happen to say that they are a state. This is just ridiculous. I mean, it's, it's just absolute. And then this man calls himself the Vicar of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
My. Okay, what else?
Many lawsuits stemming from the U.S. church sex abuse crisis have named the Pope, the Vatican, and other high-ranking church cult officials, but they failed because the officials could never be served with the papers. This case got further than most recent ones because Ratzinger was actually served with the documents.
Okay. Now, what was the other article? Just going to read a little bit of this one.
It's called Capital Control.
Okay.
According to recently declassified documents in the National Archives of Ireland, both Italy and Spain sought the support of Ireland in the late 1940s to put Jerusalem under Roman Catholic control within the newly formed State of Israel.
Right. Now, the reason that the Vatican is trying to put its headquarters in Jerusalem is because everybody's getting hip to the fact that Rome is not the Holy See. Everybody's getting hip that that's just a big cult that's sitting there, which is the Antichrist, the head of the Antichrist cult. And now, so to make themselves look or attempt to look more authentic. They want to move into Jerusalem. And now, one of the reasons that Israel is under such fire is because God is letting this happen, because they're even talking about turning Jerusalem over to the Palestinians. And this is very irritating to the Almighty God. God gave that country to the Jews, and now they've given apart some of the land that they had captured in the war. They gave it back to the Palestinians. They moved the Jewish people out of the homes that they'd been living in for years, and now they're attempting to push them out of Jerusalem. Brothers of Israel and sisters, call out to the Lord and ask Jesus to enter into you, the Messiah. And if you don't believe that he's the Messiah, ask God, is Jesus really the Messiah? And if he is, then God will show you. And when he does, you better receive him, because if you don't, you would be in a lot of trouble, many of you. But God is going to protect you if you'll just receive the Messiah. Don't give up the land. Now, the reason that God made a new Jerusalem, that's in the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, is because Jerusalem has allowed the Islams to put a temple right in the walls of Jerusalem. This ought not to have been done. Amen?
Amen.
And they let all these Arabs go in there. Now, God said that the Arab is a wild man. And they're just like, he said, in other words, crazy. And they'll never let, they will always be a thorn in the Jewish people's side, because of the fact that Abraham never trusted God to and Sarah to bring forth a child, because they were in the old age. So Abraham went into Sarah's handmaid, and they had a child. And they said, oh, God, you know, this is a... No, Sarah shall have a child, he said. Amen?
Amen.
And so now this little Arab boy, because he's part Hebrew and part another nationality, it turns into being an Arab, all right? And so God said, this Arab is going to be a thorn in your side ever since, and now they're trying to take over all of Israel. And they've been trying to do this for years. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? Okay, now we begin with the piece of literature that I have written called The Secret of How to Defend Your Mind. But just before we do that, I want to give you a revelation from the book of Revelations, chapter 6, verse 8, regarding the different death that is happening, the sickness, diseases, and infirmities that are going on in the world today. So, Sharon, will you come forward and read that?
And I looked, and behold, a pale horse.
Now, where is this at?
This is Revelation chapter 6, verse 8.
Okay. So now the pale horse is the horse of sickness, disease, infirmities, death. Go ahead, read it.
And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth.
Okay, so we see that most of the sicknesses now for the past 70 years have been caused by beasts. Now, recently, people are talking about this bird flu that's coming. So God is going to kill what they estimate is one-third, but the Bible says one-fourth of the people of the earth. The mad cow disease, the disease that came from monkeys, they say that was AIDS. And then there was the parrot disease, and there's just some of the other ones I mentioned today. Did I miss any? There's a lot of them. So this is happening, this is the last book of the Bible telling you that all these diseases would be coming from beef and dairy products. So that's why the Lord told me years ago, don't eat any beef anymore and don't eat any dairy products. So that means the things I loved, cheeseburgers, hamburgers, hot dogs, things like that, beef hot dogs, I don't eat them anymore. Knockwurst. And I don't eat, because the Lord commanded me not to eat them, eat any dairy products. That's butter, cheese, milk, ice cream, yogurt, all these things that I once thought were so good for me. The Lord told me not to, so I quit. And different health books are telling you don't eat dairy, beef, and of course not pork. And so we're in a fast now. If you want to eat them, you can, but it's going to bring forth death, thus saith the Lord. Okay? All right, let's begin now reading The Secret of How to Defend Your Mind. Do you know of all the diseases that are caused by this? They're attributing cancer, leukemia, AIDS, all this is coming from animals, and dairy products and beef, heart disease. They just go on and on and on. Okay, let's start reading.
The Secret of How to Defend Your Mind by Tony Alamo. Years ago, I was listening to a false prophet on television. He mocked Christians for saying, quote, God spoke to my heart, unquote, then added, quote, tell me, does a man's heart have ears? Did God put ears on people's hearts, unquote? The answer is yes. The outward man and the inward man, the spirit, both have ears. God's meaning for the word, quote, heart, unquote, is, quote, man's spirit, unquote, which is in the heart or the middle of human bodies. The Bible clearly states man is both physical and spiritual. He has an inward man as well as an outward man. The outward man is our physical human body, and the inward man is our spirit or heart, which is invisible. The outward man has ears, eyes, a mind, and a body, and the inward man has ears, eyes, a mind, and a body that looks identical to those of the outward man. The combination of the outward man and the inward man is called, quote, a living soul, unquote, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The spiritual part of man's soul, the inward man, became dead so far as having communion with God and so far as possessing God's eternal life because of Eve's transgression. Because Eve is the mother of all flesh, we inherited separation from God, which meant we lost communion with God and lost his eternal life. Also, the carnal outward man is especially dead insofar as having communion with God and God's eternal life, because the human spirit is the only organ of man's soul that God communicates to with his spirit. For man's spirit to be regenerated, quickened, resurrected to receive God's eternal life, God's spirit must...
Eternal life and communication. If you are a sinner, there's a middle wall of partition, a big block wall between you and God. He can't hear you. And he won't hear you unless you come to him for repentance. And he'll hear the sinner's prayer. But go ahead.
God's spirit must be received by faith in God's word into the spirit or heart of man. Jesus said, quote, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, God's spirit, and they are life, God's eternal life, unquote, John chapter 6, verse 63. Because we are born dead to communion with God, and dead since we do not have his life, there is a need for us to be, quote, born again, unquote. That is, quote, born again, unquote, of God's life, John chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. This is accomplished by our receiving God's word, which again is God's spirit and God's life. The inward man, the human spirit, must, with the ears of the spiritual inward man, hear and receive God's words as the only truth, in order to be, quote, born again, unquote. that is, to receive God's eternal life. Only then might he commune with God, and God commune with him. This is only possible by our receiving the words that Jesus, the incarnate Word, which is God, spoke. The words which were spoken by Christ, who is the, quote, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, unquote, of all things, are the very Spirit and the life of God, Revelation chapter 22, verse 13. We must receive and retain them so we can live in heaven with Christ, his Father, and the Spirit forever. Again, the entire human soul before regeneration is, quote, dead in trespasses and sins, unquote, according to the Word of God, until the soul becomes regenerated, given God's eternal life, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Evidence of two bodies. I know by personal experience that the inward man, the spirit of man, does have ears, eyes, a mind, and a body. I know all these faculties are present in the human spirit because in a Beverly Hills attorney's office approximately 36 years ago...
Now it's 41 years ago. Okay, then what?
God made me aware of the reality of himself by turning my carnal hearing completely off. My outward man could not hear traffic, the motion of people in the room, or the words they were speaking to me or each other. My natural or outward hearing was gone. After I was tuned out of the world, insofar as my outward hearing was concerned, God began talking to the ears of my spirit, which is the utmost part of my soul.
And it wasn't really just my ears, I could hear as good in my feet, my knees, my thighs, my hips, my chest, my arms, my hands. I could hear even better in my entire inner man than I could in my human ears. All right? Because I've never heard anything with my hands, my flesh hands, or the rest of my body, but I have heard everything through every part of my soul when the Lord tuned my human ears off. Okay, then what?
My spirit has ears. Your spirit has ears too. My inward man with his spiritual ears could hear every word he was saying to me, but again, my outward man could not hear any sound at all. The ears of my spirit began hearing this communion from the Holy Spirit. Quote, I am the Lord thy God. Stand up on your feet and tell these people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he is coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die, unquote. God convinced me.
And he threatened me. And people say God never threatens anybody. Those are false prophets that say that. He said either do it or die. Okay, then what else?
At that time, the mind of my spirit was so blinded by Satan that I believed that I was going crazy. There certainly was no God or devil, I thought, and for sure there wasn't a God who would mix business with religious words such as these, especially since I didn't know anything to tell the people in the office about the Lord Jesus Christ. But it was only a few seconds more until God convinced my spiritual mind that not only had my spiritual mind and my human mind been blinded by the devil, but that there truly is a God that is all-powerful, a God who knows everything and sees everything we have ever done and are currently doing. God's Spirit was dealing with the ears, eyes, and mind of my inward man, my spirit. He convinced my entire spirit by his Holy Spirit to make my spiritual will the same as his spiritual will, and compelled my human body to do the things his Holy Spirit told my human spirit to do, which I did as much as I could with great zeal, but not much wisdom. God has caused my human spirit to be alive. I am spiritually awake now. He convinced me to say things to the people who were in the office in Beverly Hills that I never in a million years would have done or said if he hadn't broken into my spiritual mind through my spiritual ears, waking up my spiritual self and causing me to serve him on that day. He convinced me also by pulling my spirit in and out of my...
Not only on that day, but from that day on. Okay, then what?
He convinced me also by pulling my spirit in and out of my body. Then he again threatened my spirit, my inward man. He said, quote, tell them of my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, or thou shalt surely die and spend eternity in hell, unquote. I honored his wish, and I know without a doubt that is why I am still alive. This experience terrified my entire spiritual being. I am too terrified of God not to do as he says. So when I say the Lord communicates to the spirit of man, I mean the wholeness of man's spirit, his spiritual ears, his spiritual eyes, and his spiritual mind, heart, and soul, freeing him from being Satan's prisoner if he does what the Lord tells him to do. The whole Bible tells us what the Lord wants us to do. The Bible reveals that the devil blinds the minds of men. God's word must come to the spiritual mind first through the spiritual ear. Satan is working there. This is why Jesus said, quote, "Take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever hath accepted my words, to him shall be given all that the Lord promises. And whosoever hath not accepted my words, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have," unquote. Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Faith. The soul of man is saved by his believing the words of the gospel preached and taught by God's messengers. Faith in God's words, quote, "cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God being preached into his spiritual ears, his mind, and his entire spiritual man within," unquote. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Jesus wanted everyone to know that for him to enter our spirits, his carnal human body would first have to die, resurrect, transform, become the Holy Spirit, then ascend. Only then could he send himself with the Father by way of the Spirit into our spirits. He said to his disciples in no uncertain terms, quote, "Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men, otherwise we would never be able to be saved and delivered from hell," unquote. Luke chapter 9, verse 44. Without the continuous revelation of God's word sinking down into our spiritual ears, without our spiritual ears being open to the word of God, all the people of the world, as well as all the Christians, can easily be deceived by the evil spirits.
Right. So there's just people saying that false prophets that say, when the Lord blows his spirit into us, that we have the Holy Spirit and we don't have to go receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But then the Lord blew his breath into his disciples, and then he said for them, after he says, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit," they received it. Then he says, "Now tarry in Jerusalem." And they tarried there for 40 days, and then the baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon them. So there's two different infillings. It's the same Spirit, but one of them is inward, the inward, which the Lord comes into you when you're saved. And then for the minister, for you to be able to have the ability to minister the Lord, you must seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I just heard a minister on the radio, on television the other night, saying that there's just this bunch of bunk, the Holy Spirit. I warn you, different ministers that do this, that you're in probably have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. But if you haven't, you will know. Ask God to forgive you and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that you can minister the truth instead of the fallacy that you're ministering. Okay, go ahead.
We must learn to be dead to any other voice but the voice of the Lord.
The voice of the Lord is his word. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The only begotten Son of God denied sin, Satan, the world, and a life of self-will throughout every day of his life. He was dead to all these before he physically died on the cross at Calvary and shed his blood for the remission of all our former sins. Before our physical death, we too must die out to all these. Christ did it so he could be raised up and come back to live in us. We must die to our own will or self-life that the entire Spirit of the Triune God can enter us, then resurrect us from the death and condemnation of our old self-life, which was death, unto eternal life. It is only then that he will live and work his works in and through us, as he did in the human body of Jesus. And as it states in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, in the human bodies of his disciples.
Good. That was Charles Stanley that was saying that there's no such thing as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he was teaching people falsely, too, that there is eternal security, that once you're saved, you cannot fall away. Then what is the Lord talking about, all these people that fall away, that you're like dogs that go back to your vomit, sows that go back to their wallowing in the mire? And what about the Second Thessalonians when he tells about the great falling away just before he comes back to earth again? And then those that fall away that he says there's no more repentance for them. And it goes on and on and on. And then the Lord says, get zeal to preach the truth, Otherwise, I'll spit you out of my body. I'll spit you out of my eternal life. Okay, so you will not have eternal life anymore if he spits you out of the body. Amen?
Amen.
So there's just so many false prophets today that you just have to be aware of them. That's why I'm naming them, because I saw the people in his congregation. I know they heard my message, and they were not applauding him or anything. They were just like looking at him stunned. And I would turn away from him. He talks very good, but he's preaching fallacy. Then go ahead.
Christ's disciples, then and now, are responsible for keeping the incarnation of God's Word vitally alive. The Church. True Christians are the temples of God. We are the Church, a corporate spiritual structure of one body, which is the body of Christ. He will not live in a worldly person, an unspiritual person, a person whose eyes are yet covered, whose spiritual ears are yet deaf.
He won't live in a false prophet either. Then what else?
And whose mind is yet blind to God's truth, his word. The mind must be open to God's truth. The only way that can happen is by the word. If the word doesn't get to people, they will forever be doomed. Quote, therefore, whosoever in their spirits heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, all the troubles of life, with discouragements, including persecutions and false accusations, every trial and tribulation, etc., and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock, the Word of God, God's life and power, living and working deeply in every faculty of the redeemed, regenerated inner man, which is the spirit of man mingled with God's spirit, the triune God, unquote. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 25. The mind. Unregenerated, unsaved, unspiritual man is so governed by his flesh and his fleshly mind that his whole life takes on the character and experience of his flesh and his fleshly mind. The part of unsaved, unspiritual, unregenerated man which does the thinking is his spiritually blind, carnal mind. The mind of man enables him to think, know, fantasize, imagine, remember, believe, and understand only the things of the world. Man's wisdom, reasoning, intellect, and cleverness all have their place only in his mind. The brain is the same as the mind. The mind or brain of man has great influence over him because it is his mind or his thoughts which influence his actions, the battlefield. The Bible says that the mind is a battlefield. The devil's persuasion that caused the first sin to be committed in the world was first presented to the mind of Eve. When her spiritual ears and the reasoning of her mind received the lie that tempted her spirit to sin, to believe Satan rather than God, her spiritual ears became deaf, her spiritual eyes became covered, her spiritual mind became blind, and the stronghold of Satan, and her once sinless soul was corrupted, lost, on its way to hell. She became the first human prisoner of the devil. She could no longer resist the temptation to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Her ears could not resist hearing every satanic syllable forged from her new master's evil mouth. She could not resist, quote, knowing with her mind, unquote, the devil's knowledge of evil, in other words, the knowledge of the world. Everyone's flesh wants to experience the world before regeneration, but it cannot do so again after regeneration if it wants to spend eternity in heaven. Quote, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, the man who knows good and evil, but refuses to do that which is evil. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted to know evil or to do it, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man to go into the world to taste of it, or to live according to any of its ways. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed in his mind by Satan. Then when lust hath conceived in the mind to taste, touch, and experience the things of the world, it bringeth forth sin in the soul, just as it did in Eve's soul. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death to man's eternal soul, unquote. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Nothing has changed. The devil doesn't act any differently in today's world than he did in the Garden of Eden, or in the kingdom of God, when he was bringing accusations against the Almighty God, his Creator, to the angels. The devil is so cunning at planting things in people's minds that he took 1/3 of all the angels in heaven down. He has a much higher success rate on earth. He shot at Eve with one dart and took down all humanity with it. The minds, wills, and spirits of saved men are precious commodities in the eyes of God, which Satan and his evil spirits relentlessly strive to recapture and again rule. Our regenerated ears, eyes, and minds are Satan's prime target. If he can recapture all these, he will again have our eternal souls. The mind of carnal man is Satan's stronghold, which he desires to hold. He does this by constantly creating deceptions and untruths about the Word of God and about those who teach it and preach it. This war between God and Satan is a war of words. Satanic thoughts and imaginations are constantly being presented to unregenerated and regenerated minds for us to foolishly think about, to imagine, and to receive as truth. This is why the first contingency of our salvation is to, quote, believe, unquote, God. That is, to believe God, not the devil. Quote, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, which is God, and thou shalt be saved, unquote, Acts chapter 16, verse 31. This is why the evil spirits especially long to recapture the minds of those who have been saved. Spiritual activities. Most Christians do not know the difference between the activities of the devil's evil spirits and God's Holy Spirit.
Yeah, so tune in tomorrow. I see that we're out of time, so that you can begin hearing the difference of this. And there's seducing spirits out wanting to prevent you from being saved. That's why they bring every kind of accusation, the world government, the cult, and the media, against those that are really carrying the truth of the gospel. So if you'll rebuke Satan for just a moment here, while you say the sinner's prayer, God will save your soul immediately. If you're driving a car, or if you're in some different situation, just sit down right now or park and say to the Lord with all your heart, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word tells me so. Your word is infallible. It means exactly what it says. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that your word applies to me just like everyone else. And therefore, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." Now, everyone, just raise your hands up in praise and thank the Lord for your salvation. And make sure you tune in for the conclusion of this first part of The Secret of How to Defend Your Mind, Your Heart, and Your Soul. And until tomorrow, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, stay in the Word. Stay strong. Keep on running. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.